Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, thanking you for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast today. Today is Monday, March 29th, 2021. This is Holy Week, Easter Week for Christians all over the world, as we remember the great suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he endured for our salvation. It's Passover week for Jews worldwide. And as the Bible says very clearly, Jesus is our Passover lamb. I wonder if we really take stock and sit down, meditate, and think clearly on the great, and I mean the great suffering that Jesus endured for our salvation. Unfortunately, in very liberal, progressive Christianity, there are those Christians that are abhorred at the idea that God would send his son to die such a vicious, cruel death for our sins. They think it's above the love of God for something like that to happen and to teach that. That's where the apostate church is heading. But for us Christians who believe the message of hope and salvation, we rely upon Scripture and God's truth to guide our. The cross and the message of the cross is foolishness for those that are perishing. But for us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Today on the cross in the desert, I want to talk a little bit about the historic meaning of the Passover and how this applies to us today as Christians. We call it Good Friday, right? We sometimes shudder at how could this be good, the cruelty, the violence. And yet, it was God's power and wisdom, the cross, that would reconcile humanity with the Holy God through the death of his son. I want to talk to us about that this morning. I want to first turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And Paul, who earlier in 1 Corinthians 1 said that the message of the cross is foolishness unto the world, to those that are perishing, he says, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. 1 Corinthians 5, 7, Paul says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. All one needs to do to understand this, and most of us understand the story of this, the typology, how it applies. All of us remember, I think at one time I watched the movie The Ten Commandments, with Charlton Heston. And I remember that graphic scene. Moses had been sent into Egypt to free the Hebrew slaves. Miracle after miracle, still the Pharaoh hardened his heart, refused to believe these miracles, refused to accept the message of Moses to let his people go. And so finally, God brought on the plague of the death of the firstborn to the Egyptians. I will pass through the land of Egypt, Exodus 12, on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, to those Hebrews, of course, still captive there, he instructed them, taking the Passover lamb and taking the blood from the Passover lamb and spreading it over the doorposts of their dwelling. And when the death angels saw the blood, they would pass over that house. There would be no death of a firstborn there. Hence the word Passover, the application of the blood on the doorposts. The death angel passes over the Hebrews' house. There's no plague against them, of course. And we understand the meaning of the Passover based on this historical event. And we also understand how that applies in the death of Christ for our sins. In the same way, when we trust in the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross, our faith is in God who provides us with the Passover lamb in the person of Jesus. When we are trusting in that, God's judgment for our sins passes over us. He doesn't look at our sins. He looks at Christ who bore our sins, and his judgment passes over us. And so we can understand, based on this, what Passover for Christians means, how Jesus is the Passover lamb. The night before his crucifixion, in the Last Supper, in the upper room with his disciples, Jesus instituted the Christian Passover. Take this. This is my body broken for you. Drink this. This is my blood shed for you. We understand the typology, the significance of what Passover means for us as Christians. It's a holy event that we can never, ever understand fully and comprehend the incredible suffering that Jesus bore to save us from God's wrath and from his judgment. Yes, this is what the scriptures plainly teach. Any of us that have seen the movie The Passion, directed by and produced by Mel Gibson, we see the scourging of Christ and those graphic scenes, and it's so difficult to watch, but yet that's exactly what happened to Jesus. And then we see him carrying his cross and collapsing, and then driving the nails through his hands and feet, and it's the graphic and the violence is almost too much to bear. And yet the Bible says, in the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The entire sacrificial system of the Old Testament, the Passover, all pointing to one day when God's perfect sinless lamb would fulfill all of that for us. And no longer would there be the need for a sacrificial system. Just as John the Baptist said of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And as we are thinking this morning about this historic, monumental event, the best way that we can understand it in some way, the depths of Jesus' suffering, is to go into the Old Testament to the prophet Isaiah and read one of the most well-known, graphic, important scriptures of the Old Testament. I call it the Gospel according to Isaiah. I'm speaking of Isaiah chapter 53. And what I want to do now is to read this to you and let you hear in graphic terms what Isaiah the prophet wrote some 686 years or more before the crucifixion of Christ. This is such a powerful scripture that many Jewish people have come to faith in Christ when they read it and understand that there is no other way to understand this passage but then to see the fulfillment of Isaiah 53 in the death and crucifixion of Jesus. There is no other way you can explain this. This prophetic scripture was written and penned by Isaiah some 686 years before Jesus died. Isaiah 53, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Oftentimes, we see these beautiful portraits of what Jesus probably looked like. They're beautiful. I used to work at Family Christian Store, and we sold them all the time. And yet, Isaiah is saying he had no beauty. Our majesty, he was the suffering servant, God manifested in human flesh, and we aren't attracted to his beauty, but to his character we were. Isaiah goes on, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Ever say God doesn't understand your pain? It's clear that he does right here in Isaiah 53. A man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem. That key word in this suffering servant passage, despised, rejected. Jesus spoke the truth. He confronted the religious leaders. He stood for the oppressed and suffering, and yet he was despised and rejected. Verse 4, surely he took our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. On the surface, without the revelation of the Holy Spirit to explain this, it looked as though he was being punished by God. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, the passage in Deuteronomy says. And so Jesus was cursed by God. Well, in a sense, in that sense, he bore our curse. And God put our curse upon Jesus as the sinless substitute. What we deserve, Jesus took in his body willingly. He bore our curse. He was stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. This is picked up by Matthew in his gospel, demonstrating how this passage was fulfilled in the crucifixion. Pierced for our transgressions, the nails. I'm thinking of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was pierced for our transgression, crushed for our iniquities. He was bearing our punishment. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. You read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, as the Apostle Peter picks up this section of Scripture, talking of the crucifixion of Christ. Jesus was punished. Instead of judgment and punishment upon us as worthy sinners, unworthy sinners, instead of us bearing the judgment and punishment. Instead, this great act of this suffering servant brought us peace. In that sense, peace between God and man. Our relationship has been restored with God through the death of Christ. We now have peace with God, the Bible says. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible compares us to sheep, the dumbest animal on earth, that needs a shepherd to guide them and from wolves. And we, like sheep, we choose our own way. We go our own way. We do our own thing. And the Lord, instead of condemning us, showed his great love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Before Pilate, he refused to speak. He refused to explain anything. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For this transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death he was buried in a rich man's tomb. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Again, Isaiah is painting this portrait of a sinless, suffering servant. He was bearing the pain, iniquity, and punishment for the guilty. Yet, Ken, it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord, and through the Lord, makes his life an offering for sin, it was God's will to have him crushed and cause him to suffer. And yet Jesus said, no one takes my life away from me. I lay it down willingly. In the great eternity past, as the second person of the Trinity, Jesus willingly, of course, accepted the Father's plan for all humanity. It was God's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. Despised, rejected, punished by God, stricken by him, afflicted, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, oppressed and afflicted, like a lamb led to the slaughter. This is the description of the great suffering servant, Jesus Christ, our Passover, that when God sees the blood of Christ applied to the hearts of our lives, he passes over us. There is no judgment. Jesus is called the sinless Savior. He has taken our guilt and our sin. He has taken your guilt and your sin on the cross. He has borne your judgment. He has borne your punishment. Because he loves you that much. There is no greater love in all of the world than the love of Christ, in that he bore everything in our place, took our place, died our death, and rose again gloriously on the third day as our living Savior. It's all about Jesus. And I want us to hear this song right now by Chris Tomlin. worship from Chris Tomlin, the acoustic version of his premiere song entitled Jesus. As we have listened to the testimony of Scripture today, as I read Isaiah chapter 53 to you, the great anthem of the suffering servant, two words come to my thinking. Two words I want to pass on to you. Healing and hope. There are many, many broken people in humanity today, broken by the circumstances of this COVID pandemic, broken emotionally, broken physically, broken. And as we gaze upon the sacrificial death of Christ, we have immediately think of the word healing and the other word hope, because there is no hope for humanity apart from Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There is no other means by which we can be made righteous in the sight of a holy God except through Jesus. Two words I want to leave you with this morning. Healing. If you need emotional, spiritual, physical healing, Jesus holds his arms out in love to you this morning. He provides healing from your sins. Healing from the pain and the guilt that you're carrying this morning. He says, come to me, you who are weary and you carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. The other word, hope. If you're broken, you see no future for yourselves. Jesus holds out his arms of love and says, come to me. I will give you hope. I will give you healing. I will give you purpose for your life. When you think about the cross, that great symbol, that great Christian symbol, and you think about Jesus and that cross, that is healing, and that is hope for you. I'm not talking about a religious experience. I'm talking about truth, a rock-solid foundation for your life. If you're hanging on the edge of a cliff with nowhere to go, broken and hopeless, Jesus is that bridge over your troubled water. That is who Jesus is. He doesn't just provide a way of escape from God's judgment. He comes to bring healing and hope and purpose into your life. And so this morning, as you look at what this week means, as you hear all about the cross and the resurrection this week, let these two words resound in your spirit and in your soul. If you've learned nothing else today, take these two words, healing and hope, and think of Christ. He is a living Savior. He is alive. He is coming back for his people. But today is the day to step down off of the fence and come to him, because he will give you the very thing that I've been sharing with you this morning, the healing and the hope that you are looking for. You will not find it anywhere else. Only Christ, the bread of life, can satisfy your spiritual hunger and your spiritual thirst. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never thirst again. Whoever believes in me will never be hungry again. He's speaking to us on spiritual terms, but he is the satisfaction that you've been searching for. And today on the cross in the desert, reach out to him in faith, cry out to him, ask him to reveal all of this to you. He will. He is faithful. He will meet you right as you are. He will come to you right where you're at, and he will give you new life of healing and hope. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me this week on the cross in the desert. Back again on Thursday for our very important Bible study through the book of Revelation. Have a safe and good week, and I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert.